When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Inside the 1 o'clock hour on The Fan this morning, trade deadline day. Keith McPherson rocking for another, 48 minutes. 888-808-1019. Good to be back. Had a long weekend of moving. I was just telling Marco, I'm like, bro, I fell asleep in like the middle of Sunday night baseball. Woke back up in the middle of the night. I'm like, yes. Yes. I said, moving is exhausting. It's like, you can be in shape, you can run, you can lift weights, you can CrossFit. There's no way to train your body and your muscles for what moving feels like. For me, man, I have moved. This is now my eighth apartment since I moved up to this area in 2017. Like, not even this area, but just like in North Jersey, chasing the New York City dreams of like working in New York and being somebody in the city. Like, I've lived in Carteret, I've lived in Bayonne. I've lived in Jersey City now in four different apartments. I'm just blessed that, you know, I'm able to make a little more money. My wife make a little more money each year where we could reassess and move. But, man, I was just saying to Marco as well, like, I remember the days of not being able to afford movers and just trying to champ it out, the willpower. I would get the biggest U-Haul, and I didn't care how long it took. I'm driving the U-Haul. I'm filling up the U-Haul. I mean, I've had my dad help me. I've had some of my homies help me. And now I don't want to put that burden on anybody. I don't want to ask anybody. I don't want to make anybody waste their life and their time moving me and my stuff. So now I've used the same moving company back-to-back years. We're all good. I felt a type of way this morning. My son, I could tell, like, he's just getting older now. And, you know, kids know more than they let off. And they get, like, very routine-oriented and, you know, he's got his life and places that he goes. And in the last place we lived, we specifically moved there for how many things they have going on with kids. And, you know, this morning we took him for a walk, showed him his new park. And then when he went back out there to play and he saw other kids that weren't his friends from the neighborhood and in a different park that didn't have the swing set and things that he's used to, he just had a temper tantrum, lost it. Just turning red in the face, screaming, hollering. It really gave me a perspective of, like, you know, you can move, but, like, these babies, these kids, like, they don't get a say in it, and they don't know how far you moved. I was able to, you know, bring him back to his old stomping grounds, but I'm like, man, my son, he took it the hardest. It was hard for him to adjust. My cat, she's good. She's already got her spots. My wife, I think, already likes the new spot. But, yeah, moving, I don't wish it on anybody. I wouldn't put it on anybody. It is what it is. But while I was moving, I just detached. I had my phone off a lot of the weekend. And, you know, I would put little notes together. And I did see, you know, Tua Tagovailoa got paid. I did see Jordan Love got paid. And, yeah, quarterbacks in the NFL, this is what they're going to make. Over $50 million. This is just what the going rate is. So, you know, you hope you got your guy or the next guy that becomes your guy. The price for him is going to be sky high. Let's go to Steve and Munaki. What's up, Steve?
What's up, Keith? You sound like a great dad. And I just want to say that this whole station is like really like great because I have a speech problem. But you guys are always great with me. But my whole point was, who would you rather have right now to start for your team? Would it be Dak or Mr. Jordan Love? I'm a big cheesehead. And I want to hear your thoughts about your...
Yeah, I mean, obviously,
3-1.
Jordan Love got the best of Dak head-to-head, and, I mean, sky's the limit for Jordan Love. He's got a young team around him. I think that Packers team got better. They've got Xavier McKinney over there now. They've got Josh Jacobs over there now. Mm-hmm. And who's to say that they can't challenge the Lions? Like, who's to say they can't challenge the Lions in that division?
I totally agree.
They have the confidence. They went into Jerry World. Not even just going into Jerry's World.
They smacked them, bro.
They almost beat the Niners. They could have beat the Niners. A couple plays and calls go their way.
That one last throw just broke my heart because, like, it was so close, and then he just the moment seemed like it was way too big for that one throw, but they almost beat them, and they were super close. And but the whole thing with them is that they have four or five guys that play at the wide receiver
position. Yeah, they got to figure that out.
They are stacked, man.
But they're young.
They are stacked.
I think we saw a few guys make plays for them at the wide receiver position, and they'll be good there. Here's the answer to the question. I would say right now Jordan Love, but it's tough because Dak Prescott's 6 years older than him. And, I mean, Dak Prescott has lost so much in the playoffs for me, I'm jaded. Dak Prescott has failed so much when you needed him to, throwing interceptions. Mm-hmm. I'm jaded. I think there's a good chance that they will resign him. Right now Dallas is trying to sign CeeDee Lamb. He's holding out. It's not good when you look at CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, and Dak Prescott. They all want the biggest contracts. You can't pay everybody.
The corner pieces too, yeah.
Yeah, but you need those three. With Dak, I think they're not dumb enough to let Dak hit the open market. I think there's a good chance that Dak stays. But I also think there's a good chance that Dak fails in the playoffs again. I'd rather see somebody else.
Why do you want to keep him though, Keith? Like, what?
I don't. I'm over it. I just fool me, fool me again type of thing. And I've seen it enough. with Dallas, it's just all pain, no gain. You don't gain anything. You can have all these double digit win seasons, and then it's the same result at the end of the year.
Okay, so like, when do you press the restart button? Because like it's. Like, it seems like it's the same story over and over again. Then
they're not.
You are.
Unfortunately, they're gonna fool themselves into thinking that this team can win 12, 13 games. I got this team winning about 9, maybe 10 games just off the strength of they do have Pro Bowl players, talented players on their roster. It has been the same coach for these last few years, but his deal is going to be up, and I don't think he comes back unless they somehow get to an NFC championship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, rumors. Deion should stay right where he is, though. He's got to win at the college level first. He's got to get to a bowl game first before we could even elevate Deion.
Yeah, it's true.
But yeah, guys are good. You're in good hands with Jordan Love. I said it the first game of the year last year. He's got the Rodgers moves down. He's got his own stuff. He's athletic. He's confident. He's only going to get better the more reps that he has.
I know.
He's only going to get better, and they're going to continue to build around him.
A true guy, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Appreciate you, man. Yeah. And to go back with the way you started this call, I try to be a good dad. That's first and foremost. I wake up and go to sleep every night being a good dad. But honestly, like, I had a disagreement with my wife. I think I'm already being too tough on my son. I'm already being, you know, too much of an authority figure trying to make him tough. He's a baby. He's going to cry. He's going to fight things. But I feel like he's got so many women around him between, you know, my wife, her sister, her mom, my sister's coming back to town, my mom. I'm like, his nanny, his you know, like he goes and he's got too many women that are, you know, picking up after him and babying him. He's got an attitude, and I know he's a baby. He can't control his emotions, and he's growing up, and he doesn't know anything, but I still kind of give him a little bit of, I don't know, like he can already hit. So if you're going to hit my wife, you're going to hit me, I'm going to give you a nudge back. And what he hates, what I do, I take my two fingers, my pointer finger and my thumb, and I just lightly grip his neck up, and he hates that. He just like snaps his neck back and, but my wife's like, you know, you can't do that. He's such a baby. He's not. He doesn't know what's going on, Keith. I'm like, yeah, but he's going to need an authority figure. He's going to need a dad. He's going to need someone in his life. What I also do, I'll hold him He doesn't like to be held like a baby anymore now that he can walk and now that he's, like, feeling himself. But I'll hold him to the point where, like, his flailing and kicking and screaming, he can't kick and scream. So I'll just hold him tight with my strength. And he loses it. His eyes are rolling in the back of his head. His face is turning red. He's just got these big tears that come out. And I'm like, I'm not doing anything to you. I'm just holding you like a baby. He does not like it. But I'm gonna back off. I'm gonna leave him alone. I'm gonna let him enjoy his little tricycle and his Elmo toys. Kid loves Elmo. I know all the Elmo songs now. And I realize there's gonna be some man lessons. Some dad being a dad, dad being bad cop, mom being a good cop lessons. But at 15 months, as my first kid, I realized he doesn't know anything that's going on. And yeah, it definitely hurt to see him realize, like, oh, we moved. Like, this isn't what I usually do. Where are my friends? This isn't my park. This isn't my room. This isn't my place. Like, it just seeing a human emotion that young, seeing how we all feel a certain type of way when our routine is broken, when we're not in our environment that we're used to. It starts that young, but we get older, we become hardened. We get older and we learn how to hide our emotions. We learn how to act like we're okay. And babies can't do that. 888-808-1019. See, it's not all baseball. It's not all football. It's some life, some fatherhood as well. Let's go to Barry in Freehold next up on the Fan. What's up, Barry?
Hey, how you doing, Keith?
Good, thanks for calling.
Can you hear me all right? Is there an echo?
A little bit, but I think you're good.
Oh, cool. All right, sweet. Yeah, no, I was listening to you, talking about fatherhood. Yeah, fatherhood is complicating, man. You know, I have three kids, and it's, you never know. Like, their emotions are all over the place, you know?
And sometimes you got to be an authority figure. Sometimes you got to be a comfort person.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the AG. You know, like, you don't know what they're going to be. They're going to be scoring 14 runs in one game, or they'll be shut out, you know, with three hits and judge one for. You know what I mean? It's hard to predict. You know, that's what...
when they pitch, they can't hit. When they hit, they can't pitch. Now it seems like they're pitching enough and hitting a lot.
Exactly. No, that's the beauty of baseball, though, in a way, because it's the unpredictability of it. Mm-hmm. Yankees were coasting along, you know, best team in baseball for the first 2 months, you know, and that was a lot of fun then. And then, they've been honestly terrible the last 2 months or so, you know, and it feels good to win again. You know Keith? It feels, in a way, I feel like it was almost, as unpleasant as, those 8 weeks were. If the Yankees could continue this way, of course, it's not 100% sealed. But if the Yankees could continue this way and they could play well, it would feel all that more better because they were struggling the last couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. I'm right there with you. Just watching the games is a struggle for us as fans. We're not playing, so I can only imagine how these guys feel failing and losing and striking out and grounding into double plays. They were turning them tonight, you know, seeing other teams hit home runs, being down in a hole because Carlos Rodon gives up the game in the first inning, second inning. You know, like, to see them come out of it right now, I'm resisting the urge to say that they're back because I know anything can happen, but they look different. And sometimes you got to go through it to get to it. Like, they had to go through the struggles and the rough patch to understand that, like, hey, we need to make a trade for a guy like Jazz, DFA Jamai Jones, stop playing around with JD Davis, and let's go.
Yeah. No, that's the beauty of baseball. The season is so long, so many games, that you could still redeem yourself even with the terrible 2 months. Again, we don't know for sure if they're going to redeem themselves, but if they do, you know, it's like who remembers the last 7 weeks? Nobody cares. You know, it's what's happening now, and that's the beauty of baseball.
Sure.
You know, we got so many games, you know, to prove, just like with the Mets. You know, the Mets are, you know, they beat the Yankees, but they're, you know, they had a good game today, but they were struggling the last few days. It's just that's the beauty of baseball, is that there's so much opportunity to actually change things. You know, in a way, it actually is similar to fatherhood. You know what I mean?
It's like very similar to life. There's good days, there's bad days, yeah. There's good runs, there's bad runs. You can always hope to be better and work on things from the past, like I'm expressing now. I'm like, maybe I am too hard on my 15-month-old son trying to make sure that he's tough. Like, he's not going to remember any of this stuff. He's a baby still. Oh, he dropped off. Thanks for the call, Barry. Yeah. Even in the Yankees' low moments where we're like, this team sucks, this team can't hit, this isn't a World Series contender, they find a way to lose. I've definitely got on air and I'm like, man, you got to love baseball. It is crazy. You can't predict baseball. There's so many layers to it. There's so many storylines. There's just so many things. Football is not like this. I know I said, I'm like, football is not like this. Football, you lose for a month, most likely your season's over. But it's like, it's got a different feel to it. The fact that this is daily, it amplifies everything. The fact that, like, you can start off on the other side as bad as the Mets started off, then get super hot. And now, right, there's some in the fan base that feel like the other shoe's about to drop. There's other in the fan base that are like, no, are you crazy? Use your eyes. Go off of what you see, man. And they're figuring it out. The biggest difference with the Mets this year, the biggest difference to me at least, is that your president of baseball operations, the first year your president of baseball operations, and your first year manager, they're in lockstep with the owner, and they're not sitting around letting the car crash over and over again. They're fixing it, and they're making crafty moves, and they're doing different things. Like right now, you know, I mentioned people talking about wasting Jose Buttó. There's no waste. I think it was Evan Roberts, like they're wasting Jose Buttó, and maybe he meant something different. But from everything I read, they're stretching out Jose Buttó in case he has to return to the rotation. And I think that is a protective measure. I think that is potential insurance. If we don't go out and land a starter during this deadline, during this last day to add a starter, at least we know we can go back to a guy who was a starter, who's been great out of the bullpen. We can stretch him out to go back into that role. 888-808-1019. And I mean, I talked plenty tonight about Jamai Jones and JD Davis. Cause yeah, if you roll out a lineup with Jamai Jones DHing and leading off after I last saw him DHing and batting ninth, I can't take you too serious. And if you only play JD Davis against one team and then you have the audacity to put him in the four spot cleanup, like that's who you chose to sandwich Judge and Soto with? I can't take you seriously. No, I got to think that you had some other motives for that, especially when less than a week later, both of those guys are not on the team. Well, another star that night in that one game that the Yankees might have been able to take from the Mets, the other three games were not close. Jake Diekman. Diekman, they cut him. All right, bro. See you later. So they're making moves. They're doing things. Maybe they're. I know they promoted Gage, but they're making moves on the roster. They're not just bystanders. They are actively adding. They've added to this bullpen. You've got three names in Maton, Stanek, and Jesse Winker who were added. The Winker move shows you they're not resting. They're not taking this. They're going for. They're not taking this as an evaluation season. They added another bat. And then the Buttó thing. Yeah, Budo's been cold. Cold in a good way. Like, he's been cold. Like he's been tough. Like, he's been nice out of the bullpen. But if they can't land a Jack Flaherty or Blake Snell or Garrett Crochet. I said Garrett Crochet is the perfect guy. Forget who I was talking to online. I'm like, Garrett Crochet literally came out and said he doesn't want to pitch in October unless he gets an extension. You have the richest owner in the sport. Go trade for him and pay the man. But I think that they're making plans. Well, if we can't get the deal that we want done, here's Jose Buttó back into the rotation with the news that Kodai Senga's out and Christian Scott's out. Gives us another option as a starter. Tim is in Hicksville before we go to break. What's up, Tim? You're on the Fan.
First off, I want to say there's a lot of new guys on the station, and I've been listening to the WFAN since the start, day one. And there's a lot of new guys, what you hear. And even though you're a Yankee fan, you're just cool. You're just really good to listen to. But I want to say about the Mets, I love the Winker pickup. I'm one of these guys that, like, everyone went nuts. You know, the Braves had lost, like, 8 games up to that point. They were due. They had 2 games. Mets had two off games. Everyone's going nuts. I'm like, let's see today. Let's see what the Mets do today. And they score 15 runs. They're a good team. I think people are not getting this. Like, they don't want to give them credit.
They got to go undefeated, Tim. They got to sweep the Braves. Yeah. They got to carry that. It's hard to do that. It's hard to put a win streak together. I'm on the radio tonight, Tim, celebrating the Yankees winning 3 games in a row.
Yes, agreed. But it's baseball's tough, and the Braves are still good. They're playing for their lives. They realize it, but I really feel like the Mets really have a really good lineup. Vientos is just been such a huge thing. And listen, I hope they get a good pitcher, but it's not the end of the world. I hope they get a relief. I hope they get Tanner Scott. I'm not really crazy about the starters. They're not going to get Flaherty, supposedly. But, you know, I mean, don't sleep on these Mets, man. I mean, that's people have been, and I think that they're getting smacked in the mouth. So, hopefully they keep doing this. And the Yankees, they'll be fine. Chaz is a good pickup for them. He's an electrifying player. New York's gonna embrace him. And they just need Stanton back, and they'll be fine.
Yeah, Stanton came back tonight. Really, his bat isn't back, but he was in the lineup tonight. And things are looking up. And you know, I'm with you on believing these Mets, but I feel like it's a part of your fan base is the group of people not believing, because the rest of the league has been put on notice. The rest of the league is like, yo, like they're really good. They can hit, and on any given night, they can put up double digit runs, hits, and not every team in Major League Baseball can hit like this.
I agree. You summed it up right. It is part of the base. And for Mets fans that are not doubting, either shut up or get off the can, or whatever they say, that statement is, because I'm all in on this team. I really think that, like I said, I love the Winker. He's an annoying player, but he gets big hits, and I've been watching him for years. He destroys the Mets.
He's gonna have a moment. He's gonna have a moment here soon.
He's gonna have a moment.
Jazz had his, you know, you're officially a Yankee moment tonight. Homer in, taking Judge's bat to homer. Give Winker a couple days for him to have his signature moment. He's a baller. He's definitely going to come through. Thanks for the call and the compliments, Tim. You know, I listened to the station yesterday. I listened to the station Saturday. I listen to the station like you guys do. I listen to WFAN more than I ever did being a part of it. Sometimes I take a break from it because I don't want other people's takes to just, like, be in my head, be in my mind, bleed into what I'm trying to do. But, you know, I had to dump Tim because he used the S word. But he said, he's like, you know, I listen to the station and there's a lot of new guys and young guys and new voices. And you know, there's a lot of talk about the future and who's up next and who's like, I'm like, I really don't even dabble in all that. I think one night I leaned into the fact that I'm like, yo, the future is now. I've been a full-time host here for 3 years. And I'm blessed. Like, the more I listen to the station, the more I realize how many of these guys have been in here together for over a decade, have grown up together, have gone to each other's weddings, have endless amount of time together that I don't have. I'm one of the random ones that broke through, that didn't intern or part-time or board op. I don't know how to run the board. I don't know how to run the board. I don't know how to produce. I never produced for any of the hosts here. I never got to run and get Diet Cokes for Francesa. I never got to, you know, I'm extremely blessed. And I think that I bring something to the airwaves and this station that was much needed. Not just one thing, multiple things. So I appreciate the kind words, Tim, but I'm aware. And I know, and I'm listening to the young talent and people that we have, and we have a lot of good people, but I just think that I'm different for many, many reasons. Diversity is needed, not just in skin color, but diversity of thought and fandom and styles and perspectives. And when you put together a radio station, it's not supposed to sound the same. You know, even the fact, like, I get how many Mets fans we have on air. It's traditionally been heavily Mets. So, like, coming in, I leaned into what I am. I'm a Yankee fan. But, like, this is all WWE wrestling. Like, if I have shtick, I don't even have a shtick, but I definitely have, like, a character that I represent, a character that I play on air, and I lean into that. And I feel like it's needed. You know, shout out to C-Mac and BT and Morash, who are also Yankee fans, but, like, there's just a level of Yankee fan and Yankee fandom and what I've done in the Yankee universe that I bring to the airwaves that is different. And then also being a former athlete. I tried to give props to Pat Boyle the other day, you know, being a Division III baseball player. Count it. But there's a different level of sports and understanding that I feel and that I believe you bring to the table when you're obviously a former pro like Boomer and Tiki, but then also a collegiate athlete like BT and myself. There's, you know, it's just a lot of different things. I think that we have a lot of different voices and a lot of different perspectives, and that's good. And as I listen to the radio station, whether it's Tommy getting a show on the weekend or Morash's style or Al Cintrone or Daniel McCartan or, you know, whoever it may be, you know, I'm extremely proud that I'm coming up on 3 years. That's going to be a celebration. I'm going to stand on business with that. 3 years doing this nighttime job, being a full-time radio host in New York City at WFAN, the greatest sports talk.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL on CBS game every week on Paramount Plus.
Oh, let's go. It's a Keith McPherson show. Live on your radio. Up, away we go. Call me up, people. It's 888-808-1019. Having a fun time. Thinking of one line. Or maybe two, or maybe three. It's M-E. Yeah, that's me. M-A-C. They used to call me K-back. K-Mac. Way back. Never drove a Maybach. One day I will. Let me chill. I gotta get the bag for real. Hey, thinking about $100 bills. Thinking about Ben Franklin. What you thinking? Yeah, Ben Franklin. If I'm being Frank Franklin. I don't know. Loopy on the late night, man. My bad. I ain't been on in a minute. But that was a good little beat. I just, you know. That's why sometimes I just do that. Like, I try to set myself apart, tell y'all I'm different. Wait till I actually find the time to write. I haven't really sat down to write since I had a kid. Because once you have a kid, like, that's another thing me and my wife were not beefing about, but going back and forth about. Because it's just like, you know, when you move and you got all these boxes and things that got to get set up. I was set on today with the TV, the big TV. I broke out the 75-inch TV, set up the mount, leveled, perfectly measured. I'm like, this TV will be up. The Yankees are about to win three in a row. This TV will be up tonight by 6:40. TV was up by 6 o'clock. But she had to take my son so he could ride his tricycle around. And, you know, she's like trying to, you know, do things like that so I can do the manual things. And, you know, when she came back, she was like, you're not done? And it's just like, I need help. I can't pick this 75-inch TV up by myself. I got it all set up. I need you to get the other side. And then we started talking. I'm like, you know what? The day evaporates so fast. The day goes by so quick. We're up at 6:30, 7:45 with my son. Before I know it, it's 6:40 p.m. I'm like, what did I do today? I still have 8 boxes in this living room that I haven't even opened. So, working on it. I'm sure you guys can relate. Hopefully you find a place where you don't have to move. I'm set on it. After we live in this apartment for 2 years, I'm buying a house, wherever it is. And I just got to put in the work, put in the time, and grind so that in 2 years I have enough money to put down on a house for my wife, for my son. Maybe we'll have another kid, my cat as well. Tired of, you know, moving from apartment to apartment every year. It's been good because, like I said, I've made more money. My wife has made more money. We've been able to progress. We've been able to get out of some bad neighborhoods and some bad situations or whatever and do better. But, man, after a while, you just want to move somewhere where you can stay, where you can grow some roots. But, yeah, the whole crux of, you know, I heard C-Mac and Morris talking about what does crux mean? He's like, we all say it. And they looked up crux. But the whole crux of the thing is, like, once you have a kid, forget a schedule. Once you have a kid, whatever you planned, men make plans and kids laugh. You just, like I said, like today, I did not know my son was going to freak out like he was going to freak out today, realizing, like, no, we moved. Like, actually, now this is two nights sleeping in this place, and this isn't where I want to be. You know, I didn't know. I had a bunch of different things to do. I tore down my studio. I had a stream to do today. I couldn't do the stream because I'm like, the internet just got set up. I don't know where my mic is. I don't know where my camera is. I'm still buried in boxes. I'm still trying to figure out where things are. But all right. I've got 15 minutes less to take the rest of my call, so let's do that.
Sorry.
Bruh. Like, all right. Let's, Alex, what am I supposed to do, bro? Loop you on the late night. So, we can't curse on the radio. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate the enthusiasm. I appreciate the realness, but it is not just you and I. It is not just you and me. It is not just us two talking over the phone. Everybody can hear. We have to be mindful of that. I am doing my best to be mindful of that. Even I forget how many people are listening at certain times. And even if I'm tired, I got to be on my P's and Q's. So we had to drop the last call. One dumb button, you got it. All right, we'll, you know, we rode through, you know, Tim from Hicksville. I think he had one dumb button. We kept it rolling. Two, it's like clearly you didn't learn from the first one. You didn't even pick up what you did, so we had to keep it moving. All right, let's try this again. I feel like I went from Tim in Hicksville, the last caller. His name wasn't Tim. It was it Tim?
It was Tim.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going straight to Tim, and Tim. Tim is in Montclair. Tim, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, dude?
What's up, Tim? This Tim seems like he's got it.
No, man. I'm with you. And I am. We're doing it together. We're doing it together, man.
All right. I don't know here. Forget it. Yeah. So again, C-Mac is coming up next in 10 minutes. Now like 9 minutes. We can't even get through the calls. It's Monday into Tuesday.
Was that three in a row?
Yeah. I'm on this dump button. Like, 888-808-1019. I need some different callers. Again, the S word, it's a no-go. The F word, you shouldn't even think that that's possible. Like, you shouldn't even think you could call in and get that off. This is FM radio, AM radio. It's FCC regulated. We just can't do it. So, when you hear my voice and you're on hold and I'm, you know, I'm going to shout out a name and a city, think about what you're going to say and try to deliver that without profanity. Let's go to the west side. Maybe that'll fare better for us. Mark is in California. Mark, you're on the Fan.
So I'm not going to start off saying any curse words, okay? It's like, it's just... Well, I could do four in a row if you want, man. But
nah, we're trying to have a children listen to this. It's summertime. I got young guys listening to this.
Yeah, well, man. I know, man. You can easily say George Washington, Ben Franklin, whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever. But
whatever comes to your mind, as long as it's clean. I can rap and not drop a profane word.
Yeah, man. I've seen the New York Rangers make Eastern Conference final appearances and freaking lose to, you know, teams that they should be beating, the New Jersey Devils and stuff. And
poopy teams, crap out teams, without saying the S word. Works. You can say frickin'.
All the profanities are coming out of my mouth during the game because no one can hear me, but once I leave the stadium, I'm completely... That's just the way it is. But yeah, I heard my buddy just texted me now. He said that the Jack Flattery trade with the New York Yankees has gone through, and they're just pending physicals right now, and that's the reason why the deal is being held up. But it's not going to be for Cortez as a straight up swap. He's telling me, he has a little information because he's, I guess, a Yankee beat writer for Bleacher Report, so he just knows a lot about this stuff.
But I'm taking your word for it. I'm taking your word for it.
He also told me that this was about 2 or 3 years ago when the Yankees were in on, I think this was 2, 3 years ago now, that they were in on Montas. That was 2 seasons ago they were in on Frankie Montas, right? They traded for Montas.
2022, yep.
Yeah, so he told me about the Montas trade that went through. Supposedly it's Will Warren and the other kid, Estevan, whatever his name is. He's injured right now. He's going to come back from the
island. Not Estevan Florial. We let him go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Everson Pereira?
There we go. That's who it's for. It's Pereira and it's Will Warren.
Man, if that's the price to get Jack Flaherty, run it.
Well, here's why. Because a lot of teams are, I'm not a big Flaherty fan. His playoff resume is horrible. He hasn't really pitched. It's not horrible.
He hasn't made that many appearances with the Cardinals, and this is a different beast. Even with Jazz coming over here, I'm like, this guy, he doesn't have to be the guy, but he's going to be the guy because he's playing around so many other talented guys. Like Jack Flaherty, I think over here, he's going to be hitting behind Gerrit Cole, Luis Hill. He might be a third starter.
Yeah, I mean, what's good about Landy Flaherty is that you can then either trade Cortez, because if you were to trade Cortez for Flaherty straight up, it'd be about a $4 million swap to put the Yankees in the higher tax bracket, which I don't think they want to do. But by trading for Flaherty, it can put Luis Gill in the bullpen, which would then, his innings limit is a little high. It feels so funny, this Yankee team, because I was just telling my buddy about it yesterday. I was like, they've been struggling for a month and a half, Keith.
Yeah.
If they were to play just solid 500 baseball, they'd have 75-80 wins.
Yeah, I got like, mad the other night where I was like, okay, you get to 60 wins. You should already be at 70 on your way to 80.
Listen, you won't. I'll tell you something that's so crazy. I have text message threads from my buddy. June the 14th was my birthday. I texted my buddy. I said, oh, my God, Yankees are winning. He's like, hell yeah, man. We're going to be the first 50-win team. We won that day. We're the first 50-win team in baseball. Since June the 14th of my birthday, Yankees have won 11 games.
Yep.
11 games. Since my birthday.
They lost like 25 or something.
Ridiculous, dude. And what's so crazy about it is, think of this real quick. The Phillies are only 5 games better than the Yankees. We've been struggling for an entire
It's wide month and a half. Open this year, bro. That's again why I'm unreal. Saying stack the deck. Anybody can win the World Series this year, for real.
Crazy. It's so crazy. And Orioles have been struggling. Dodgers are struggling.
Yeah.
They're 11 and 12. They're not doing very, very good.
The Braves are banged up. They're going to bring Jorge Soler back.
What my buddy's also telling me is that the Seattle Mariners right now are in extensive trade talks for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
they can have him, but talk about bringing another bat over there. He won the home run derby. I was live for that last year at All-Star in that building.
Not just that, but Seattle needs talent. They also added Justin Turner. They added Randy
Rosarena. Yep.
And you also add,
rotation in the beginning of the year, outside of the Yankees, people were looking at their rotation saying this is the best rotation in baseball.
Yeah, and then you see Kikuchi just went to the Astros. Kikuchi went to the Astros, and so supposedly there were talks of Blake Snell going to Houston. That was the big rumor, but I guess they bailed on him. Yanks were in on him, too. Yanks were in on Snell.
I think they still are. I mean, they offered him in the offseason. Supposedly he's good friends with Judge.
There were there were talks of Tanner Scott. Now, I want all these Yankee fans out there that are like freaking out about, oh my God, we're going to get Tanner Scott. It would take, and not just both of them, it would take Yasan or Spencer Jones just to entertain Tanner Scott. That's how good he is. Like, the Yanks are not even going after Scott. It was a smoke and mirrors to draft.
Maybe we can offer them a Oswald Peraza instead.
I will, if you take a look, Austie Gunn Ramirez went to.
I was familiar with him already. Yeah, he's a dog. Yeah.
I was very familiar with him. He had 16 bombs in AAA. He was slinging it. He went from, and mind you, he was a 19th.
Cerna as well. They got a good haul for Jazz.
They did. But he was the 19th best prospect in the Yankees, you know, farm system. He then goes to Florida. He's now Florida's fourth best prospect. That just goes to show you that the Yankees, even when everyone's talking about them having a really crappy farm system, well, turns out that, you know, you're... how you view a prospect is different how another team views a prospect, right?
Sure.
And so, realistically, of all the trades that Cashman has made, name me one trade that he's made where he's gone to another team prospect and they've all of a sudden flourished, outside of James Kaplan. Kaplan was just, he was an always touted prospect. He just had injury issues.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say. And I said his name, James Kaprielian, but either way, I don't think he like necessarily flourished. I mean, the guys, I just was talking to one of the Bleacher Creatures, Rob, and I was like, man, we could really use some of those arms that, you know, Cashman gave away. And then we actually started going through them and we're like, they're not effective or they're hurt. Like JP Sears, Luis Medina, Ken Waldichuk, I'm blanking on
nobody.
Like some of the other arms that were given away over the years that we always talk about, like they did not become prospects or suspects. These guys haven't materialized. I guess for the Rangers, in the Joey Gallo deal, Ezekiel Duran, and the kid that plays third base for the Rangers, I'm blanking on his name, is a Yankee guy. But other than that, there's not too many guys that you're like, them here now. Cashman lost trade.
I think Cashman's iconic steal, and I'm never going to forget it, is John Ryan Murphy Jr. for Aaron Hicks. Even though Hicks didn't pan out very well towards the end, but the thing about Cashman is he's making moves for guys. But the prospects he's trading, reluctantly, are just not panning out for other teams. Otherwise, if they are, he'd be crapping the bed. Everyone would be freaking out. Oh my God, he's trading away all these guys, and he'd be reluctant to do all these deals. Now, Cashman's known for not really making solid pitching choices. Carlos Rendon, the injury issues. And so in the first half of the season, you know what I mean? He was pitching so well. But it's not just him. It's everybody as a whole was pitching not very good. Stroman and Gill and, you know what I mean? And Cole, everyone's pitching bad. So the thing about Flattery is he's only a one-year deal. So necessarily, you're not going to give up Yasan or anybody for him anyway. You know?
Thanks for the call, Mark. I hope you're correct with your inside info from the beat reporter that you said writes for the Yankees on Bleacher Report. I don't know. The name that I was thinking of was Josh Schmidt. He was a shortstop coming up in the Yankees farm system. He played third base for the Rangers this year. He was impressive. I don't know if he's still... I haven't been paying attention to him, but I know he's the guy that we were like, oh, well, we could have used him. And then when you talk about, you know, Yankees trading for Luis Gil with Jake Cave, Cashman won that one. And that's a good way to segue into C-Mac, Chris McMonagle, who could probably tell you all the great trades that Cashman has made over the years. Stay tuned for his show. He's coming up next. I'll be back same time after the Yankees win tomorrow. Peace.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.